Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the epistle reading from Ephesians. I'd like to reread one verse. St. Paul writes, "In Jesus we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace." This is the text. Please be seated. Dear friends, in God's holy word, the Bible, we hear the word redemption, to redeem, quite often. And I know we've spoken of this before. To redeem, very literally, means to buy back again. And so if you take that coupon for Campbell's chicken noodle soup to the grocery store, and it says 25 cents off, it is the cashier acting as an agent either for the store or for the manufacturer that buys that piece of paper back from you for 25 cents. You pay the extra dollar on top of that, of course, but it is a redemption. It is a buying back. And if there's one thing that we need to remember while we are still worshiping in this Christmas season, is why Jesus came to Bethlehem, why he was born of the Virgin Mary, why the shepherds marveled when they heard the news of the angels. It's because we need to be redeemed. We need to be bought back. That is the emphasis of Christmas. That is why Jesus came. God did not send us away. God did not cast us out. He wanted always to have us close to him. But in our sin, the sin that we inherited from our first parents, Adam and Eve, and from the sin that is completely consuming our own flesh, we move away from God. There was a couple who were celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. And it was delightful because their children and their grandchildren had a party for them at a fancy restaurant, a special dinner that they had, and how wonderful it was, and all the family was together. And as the anniversary couple were driving back home again, the wife turned to her husband and said, "How wonderful it is to be married to you. But don't you remember when we were dating more than 50 years ago and you had that old beat up car and we used to go riding together and I would sit next to you and cuddle up and you'd put your arm around me while we drove? Don't you remember that?" To which the husband, still at the wheel, turned to his wife, who was leaning on the passenger side armrest, and said, "Dear, I didn't move. You moved away from me." But dear friends, isn't that the way it is with our relationship to God? God didn't move. He wants to put his arm around us all the time. He wants us to be close, and over the years, since our baptism, since our confirmation, over the years, sometimes our faith has waned and we move farther and farther away from the God who loves us. Finally, to the point that he has to buy us back. He has to redeem us. All people, that's not unique to us. All people have sinned, the Bible says, and fallen short of the glory of God. All are doomed and damned, and we are lost. I wonder if there's a time in your life when you have felt totally lost. Maybe when you were real young and you were in a large department store with your mother, or your father, or your parents, and somehow you weren't paying attention. You turned one way and mom turned the other way, and all of a sudden there you were, a little child looking up at all the racks of clothing and other things in the store, and, "Where, mommy, where are you?" And you probably began to cry. Or maybe on a hike in the woods, Or even worse, you know, sometimes people get lost hiking in the woods. Sometimes people get intentionally lost when they go into these corn mazes and they can't figure out how to get out again. And you feel helpless. You feel lost. Now, young people, you won't understand this at all. But some of us older folks, before GPS, ladies, did you ever drive in the car with your husband and he refused to stop and ask for directions because he knew where he was going? There was no GPS. And you had taken the gas station map, you had it unfolded on your lap, and you're saying, no, we're oh no, he wouldn't listen. Yeah. And you feel lost. And then it's embarrassing when he has to finally admit that he's lost. But all of those things, in our lives, our situation is far worse than any of those instances. Our situation, because of our sin, is unrecoverable, at least on our own. And so it is Jesus, the babe in Bethlehem, the baby who grew up at age 12. You know what? Mary and Joseph thought Jesus was lost when he was 12 years old. He knew exactly where he was. It was Mary and Joseph who had to discover how lost they were. I had to be in my father's house. I have to be about my father's business. Even at age 12, he wasn't lost. He knew what he was doing and revealed it. And Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. I think that's why she was probably the source for these stories, especially for St. Luke, and told them to him. But Jesus, our Redeemer, he comes looking for us, and he finds us no matter how lost we are. Someone in Bible class this morning reminded me of the parable of the lost sheep, and how right that was. The shepherd leaves the 99 and goes and seeks until when? Until he gets tired? Until he says, ah, heck with it, it's only one sheep? No! He seeks the lost sheep until when? Until he finds it. He seeks until he finds. Jesus finds us, and when he does, he pays for our freedom. He pays to bring us home. Last week, we talked a little bit about what it means to be adopted. And some of you know that adoption, the adoption process in this world of ours, it can be quite costly, quite expensive. Jesus brought us home, and a price was far more than we could have imagined, because Jesus paid to redeem us with his life on the cross. Martin Luther in the Catechism says that Jesus redeemed me not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. Our redemption by Jesus brings us back to God, and it seals our adoption as his sons and heirs of his kingdom. It makes us part of his family, the church. It makes us part of his family, the congregation of St. Paul Lutheran. In this new year, some people come up with New Year's resolutions. If you do or if you don't, that's okay. But I'd like for each of us to add at least one resolution. And let's put it on top of our list. Let us resolve this year to tell about God's love in Jesus Christ. Let us resolve to invite someone that we have told to worship with us right here at St. Paul. Let us resolve this year to help to show them that they too have been redeemed. They too have been brought back by Jesus' death and resurrection. And then, if we keep that resolution, if we follow through, then for us and for them, it will truly be a happy new year. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.